This morning we're going to pick up in probably the most important chapter in all of the book of Mark, and it is predominantly important in the New Testament. Yeah, man. Wished it was real, huh? But we're being blessed this morning, and the Lord's word is going to be upon us and in our hearts. And let it just ring true in your heart. Heavenly Father, we bless you this day, and we ask you to place your hand of mercy upon us. Lord, I pray for our lives. I pray for our families. I pray also for our job situations, that you will put your hand of guidance and mercy and encouragement there, and you'll make it work out. We don't understand how everything's working right now sometimes. We indeed don't see through clear glass, but sometimes it's very smoky. But you will help us see all the truth. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Chapter 4 of Mark, most important of all the chapters, in my own personal opinion, in the book of Mark. And Jesus is teaching from something called a parable. Now, usually with a parable, it doesn't give you names of persons. If it gives you names of persons, it's usually not a parable, like the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus is actually named, so I believe that was actually a true account. But a parable is a teaching, and it's basically, it teaches a truth or a principle cloaked in a story or a subject matter. Jesus used lots of different subject matters to teach. He used carpentry. He used agriculture, such as this. He used stories of people who've lost things, like the parable of the lost son or the parable of the lost coin. He used lots of different things to teach with. Here in chapter 4 of verse 1, he's using agrarian concepts. The agrarian concept of sowing seeds. Little tiny seeds, but seeds all the same. Verse 1, he starts and says, "And again he began to teach by the sea." This is the Sea of Galilee. "And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea." And this was a way that Jesus could isolate himself so people wouldn't just literally smother him with a crowd. And so most likely he sat in the boat and they pushed it out into the water a little ways. And he sat there and he taught. And what a pleasant thought that would have been, to just be there on that little seashore, that little inland seashore, and listen to what Jesus had to say. And it says, "And then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teachings." And he says, first of all, listen. It is so important for us to listen to God, to take time to pause, to think, to hear truly what he's saying. He says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow," meaning a planter, person who plants seeds. "And it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up." There's that beautiful New Testament word, immediately. "It sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on what? Good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced how many? It says some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. He then ends this parable, and he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not talking about ears on the side of your head, but he's talking about the spiritual ear in your heart. The spiritual ear in your heart that says, I hear you, God. And, you know, it's all about the soils. And I want to take you to a part of chapter 4 first. Since we've now read kind of the outline of the parable, his disciples come to him in verse 13. And they are a bit puzzled. And it says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? See, they're asking him, Lord, what does this exactly mean? Why are you talking about the different types of soils and how seeds don't grow in certain types, or they grow sparingly, or they get overwhelmed by weeds, and there are some that grow really good in good soil? And it says here, Jesus says to them, do you not understand this parable? Question mark. And you see, young men from the age of 4 till about 12 years of old were taught in the schools that were in small towns. Usually they had a small synagogue, and they would teach the children the very basics of the law and how it's applied. And they would teach about God's wonder and his grace and all these wonderful things. But here Jesus is like going, you're telling me you don't understand this parable? And then he says something absolutely shocking. How then will you understand all the parables? Meaning, this is a most basic of all parables. What was a parable? It was a message of truth cloaked in a story that taught a principle. But if you were just physically minded, you may not understand it. If you have spiritual ears, God will help you understand it. But even with spiritual ears, you still have to have a teacher to teach the principles. So Jesus teaches the principles. He explains some things. He says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately it springs with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they only endure for a short time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they what? It says they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of what? Riches, and the desires of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit. They do what? They hear the word. They receive the seed, the word. They accept it. They accept its truth. They accept its foundation. They accept the honesty of it, meaning it's good news. But it also reveals that they are in need of a Savior. It says, they then after accepting it, they do what? They bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Let's go back through the word now as we kind of just kind of talked a little about this. But it's so important to understand that Jesus was kind of surprised that they didn't capture this very, very basic information. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. So often this parable is referred to, and you may even have a caption above your chapter 4. It may say the parable of the soils or the parable of the seed. Well, the seed is constant. It doesn't change. It is the Word of God. It is that good news that God has for us. The sowers are constant. They're those who believe in Jesus Christ, and they share the seed. He mentions there are multiple soils that the seed lands on. And what happens is they take the seed in their hands, out of a bag or something on their side, and they're not just going, doink, 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 you know, with one little seed at a time, but they're lavishly, abundantly, wildly throwing seed everywhere. How are we to throw seed of the Word of God? Not microscopically, but abundantly. But abundantly. We're to throw it out. We throw it out to people that we meet. We throw it out to people that we work with. We throw it out to people we love. We throw it out to people we are frustrated with even. You throw it out there. You don't just give it microscopically. Sometimes God gives you an opportunity to just share it with one person. And sometimes He gives you the opportunity to share it with many at one time. Sometimes you're focusing on this guy, but someone's eavesdropping, and some of that seed lands on them. Let's look at the soils. You have, first of all, the wayside soil, which is the pathway, the packed, hard ground. They hear the word, it says they hear it, but Satan comes like a bird and takes the seed away because the soil has not accepted it. The heart of the person has not accepted it. And that soil is hard, like concrete hard. It does not penetrate. I personally believe that every human being starts out as concrete. That deep down inside of us, when we're new in this world, we don't want Jesus. John teaches us, light has come into the world, but men loved what? Darkness. They had no place in their heart for the light. But some people go from being concrete to being stony. Stony is soil that we have some right out here by our sidewalk. And it's a mixture of gravel and some dirt. And it's really difficult for those plants to sink some real deep roots. We planted some little shrubs here. And I noticed that if I don't constantly keep them watered in the summer, they turn brown and crispy because they don't have the depth of root to be sustainful, to remain alive on their own. And that happens inside of human hearts that are stony, that the ground is hard, and when difficulties come. It says that the stony ground receives the message of the seed very happily. They're excited, and you see them sprout to life immediately. But just because we see somebody being happy when they hear about the Word of God and sprouting to life in that moment doesn't mean that they have fully received God on their own. But they like it. The Bible even says for us to come and taste and know the goodness of the Lord, right? To taste it. There are some that will sample God because it makes them feel good on the outside. But they don't surrender to God their heart. Then there's a soil here called the thorny soil. It's a soil, it said that it says it fell among the thorns. The seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it did not yield. It grew, it was alive, but it never really produced any crop. Thorns are what? It says here it's the riches of the world, the things of the world that will come in and interfere with the person's ability to totally surrender themselves to God. The last one is a soil that's actually rare. It is a soil called good soil. What makes it good is that it does not contain the rocks. It's not overwhelmed by the thorns, and it's certainly not concrete. What made it that way? Nowhere in here is the sower instructed to plow. Did you notice that? The sower is only instructed to do what? Throw the seed out. Let me show you what the responsibility of the sower is. In Mark chapter 4, look at verse 26. Jesus explains some things. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. And look here. He who is the sower himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, the head, after that full head of grain in the head, or after that the full head of grain. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Now, it says that the sower, you and me, we throw the seed everywhere. We'd be sloppy with it. We're not to be concerned where it lands. We are to share it. We are to abundantly share it. And it does. It says that the sower doesn't really know how. He just throws it out. He goes home. Does he sit up at night worrying? He said no. He says he does what? He goes to sleep. He kicks back and don't worry about it. He kicks back and he doesn't worry about it. He wakes up the next day, and the seed that falls on the good ground will eventually sprout and produce crops that he will be able to harvest. Now, Jesus, at the beginning of this, he says he is shocked that they didn't understand this principle. And he says, look, if you do not understand this principle, how will you understand all of the other parables? Not just that, but I think Jesus is trying to explain to them that human beings are like the soils. Some are hard as concrete. Some are stony. Some have other things they're mindful of. They want to do other things. They're interested in this and interested in that, and they don't have time for God. They're interested in money, interested in whatever. And then there's the good soil that somebody has plowed, that somebody has removed the stones, that somebody has put out the weed killer, that somebody has dealt with. They started out maybe with a jackhammer breaking up the concrete. And you know who that is? I think that's God. I think we show up and he's worked the ground that he's most interested in seeing come to the fullness of salvation. And I don't believe salvation in all cases, note that, all cases is an instantaneous, guaranteed 100% moment of salvation. Some people, it's a process. I was a process. When I first encountered the gospel of Jesus Christ, I know I was like concrete. It made little impact. Then, later on in life, it started making a little more impact because I was stony. I still had a lot of chunks of concrete in me. But it benefited me, and it made me kind of feel good when I heard about it, and it was nice. There was also times when I was thorny, covered in weeds and things that distracted me, and I didn't surrender my heart to him. But then there's a time when he took out all the concrete and all the rocks and all the weeds, and it was just nothing but me, my pitiful self, and an almighty God. And that is the truth. And I gladly received that seed, and I understood it then. I came to a knowledge of it, and I was grateful, a grateful heart, because I knew then how precious that was. I thought I was alive before, but I was just soil. I thought I had fruit, but I had nothing but selfishness. But then he made real life occur in me and showed that I can have real fruit in me. He says this with such an intensity, like he's like, look, you don't understand this parable. Let's talk about that. How do we share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, sometimes you don't get the opportunity to really know the people that much. But there are people in your life you do know. And you know them really well. You have to ask yourself, is that concrete I'm talking to? Is that stony ground I'm talking to? Is it thorny ground? Or are they ready? Now, we beat ourselves up because we're throwing out the seed so gloriously and enjoying ourselves and just being so happy with God and just doing what we're doing. And then we go home and we go to sleep and we wake up and the seed is not even there anymore. Something has just came along and taken it. And we scratch our head going, but I tried so hard, God. All you're instructed to do is to share it. But we do get frustrated, don't we? When we share the gospel with people and it doesn't seem to, it just doesn't seem to penetrate. And then some people will go, oh, they're coming around. They'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. But I still worry. Do you ever beat yourself up over wondering when you share the gospel with somebody? You ever come home after sharing the gospel and you're like ashamed almost of what you did? That you didn't have it didn't seem that you had the right words, or your words fell on just emptiness and it didn't work, and you're like, man, I can't believe I was so stupid. I said that to them. Sometimes you'll beat yourself up and you'll say, oh, I failed God. But he says, go home and sleep. You'll wake up tomorrow, and what tomorrow holds will be what tomorrow holds. If the soil is good, it's going to sprout to fullness of fruit. If the soil's not good, you're going to get the results either concrete, stony, or thorny. In churches, I believe, we have a mix of stony and thorny. But you also have some good soil in churches too. Do you talk to the people the same way? Do you beat yourself up over the results of your sharing? Don't do that. You're not in charge of the plowing. Doesn't even say anything about fertilizing. Just says, sow the seed. First thing you have to have is you have to trust in he who has made the seed. Did he make a good quality seed? You know, you can go to the store and you can buy seeds. And you can come home and you can plant them in good soil. And they don't sprout. You don't get what they call the yield. Sometimes for every seed you plant, you know, it's like you plant a dozen seeds, you might get four that sprout really good. The rest are dormant or just dead. I will tell you, the seed of the Word of God is good. It is good. It is quality. It is the best quality you could ever acquire. It is the soils and their conditions. That is everything. You ever listen to some of the radio shows? I listen to some of the radio shows where they have these gardeners on the radio talking about how to get your soils ready. God is the mighty, the almighty plow in the world. I mean, He is. Sometimes He plows the heart so deep and turns over the soil so deep that they are devastated. How do we pray for those that have hard soil? We pray that the Lord will come and deal with it. Plowing is never a gentle process. Plowing is a brutal, almost violent event that happens to the soils. And we sometimes shield the soils that we know in our life from hardships. But doing so, maybe we're enabling them to remain hard. Sometimes the plow has to come. Sometimes the plow has to be real sharp and deep and pulled with a fierceness. And when you notice the plowing is taking place, don't go back in there and help them recover their hardness. Let them endure the hardness. And you'll know the moment by the guiding of the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll know the moment when God wants you to throw the seed out. Don't throw it too early, but throw it exactly when God says to. How will you know? My sheep hear my voice. That's what He says. They're my sheep. You will hear the Holy Spirit. Don't pull the trigger too early. You want to make sure all the stones are there that have been taken out. You want to make sure the distractions of this world have been taken out. He's telling them this now. And He's talking about there will always be tares and wheat growing together in a field. The wheat certainly will produce the harvest. But there will be people in your life that never produce because they're imitators. But in this case, the soils themselves are the subject matter. Do you ever feel as if you have banged your head against a wall with somebody? And we've all had those people, and they're not ready. You've spent a lot of seed on that hard soil, and all you did was feed the birds. Our prayer should change. Our prayer should change. Instead of praying that this, maybe that somehow, miraculously, the seed of the Word will somehow sprout on concrete, perhaps our prayer should be, Lord, deal with the concrete. Not me, not you. I'm not into concrete removal. I'm not into plowing either. I don't want to plow. That's hard labor, isn't it? Sowing and harvesting. That's all you're called to do. It's important for us to pay attention to the soils. And when you understand the field, the whole world is the field. It's made up of different soils. You might approach it differently. you'll understand all those other parables. Let's talk about the parable of the lost son. We know the prodigal son. We know him as a young man. He's not the oldest. He's the lesser. And he's entitled to an inheritance. And he wants to go into the world with his inheritance. He wants to get his inheritance now. He wants to settle everything up with his father. And he wants to go and splurge his inheritance on the things of the world. Well, what kind of soil was he? Well, he was thorny, wasn't he? The things of the world. But when he lost all the things of the world, sounded like a plow went through his life, and all he's doing out there is languishing, feeding swine, unclean animals. He is desperate, and he's broken. And it said when he what? When he came to his senses, he says, wow, even the slaves in my father's house live better than me. He says, I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. The father covers him with his cloak and puts a ring on his finger and said, my son who was dead is now alive. He was dead, useless soil that no seed could truly be planted in that could ever produce. But he comes back as good soil. There are other stories in the Bible that we read. And we can read them now understanding those parables of what was the soil involved, or what was that person like? How about the rich young ruler? He comes to Jesus with a whole litany of his good works and about how he loved God and how he obeyed the law. And Jesus strikes at the heart of him and says what? Says, sounds all good to me. Sell everything you have. Give to the poor. Take up a cross and follow me. And the rich man became extremely sad and walked away. Why? Because he was what? He was thorny. Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples because they were extremely distraught over the idea that, man, he's rich, he's blessed. You mean to tell me a man who's rich is not going to make it to heaven? And Jesus says, hey, look, it's a very difficult thing for a rich man to make it into the kingdom because the love of money, the priority of the heart, the condition of his soil. How many people do we know? How do we interpret them? How do we ask for discernment? Well, we often throw out the seed. I mean, we did, you know, and we're sowing it, you know. Some people want to take the seed and just smack the guy in the face with it, you know. But just throw it out there, see what happens. If it just bounces off of him, like hard concrete, and you could watch the birds taking the seed away just as you throw it out. You obeyed. Period. If you didn't throw it out, and God told you to throw it out, even to some concrete, then you're in disobedience. I love this chapter. Love this chapter. Every time I teach on this chapter, I understand it a little tiny bit more. And I know I don't understand it all. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. Well, actually, yeah, verse 10 of chapter 4 of Mark. But when he was alone, you notice he went into a deeper understanding with his disciples. Those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, as it says. It says, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they should be, what? Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Meaning, spiritual enlightenment makes a difference. You still have to have a teacher to teach the principles. We see Jesus still teaching the principles here. Does it mean that people don't understand principles unless there's a teacher? No. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher. Ultimate teacher. He was surprised and said, you don't understand this parable? How will you not understand all the parables? Meaning, how to apply them. Do you apply everything to everybody the same way? Maybe throw the seed all out at the same way. But then you have to try to understand what's going on here. When Jesus had dinner with Simon, the Pharisee, you think Jesus knew what kind of soil he was? He was a self-righteous man. And he was so self-righteous when a woman who was totally broken by her sinfulness, comes in. It says that this woman was a woman of ill repute, as Luke says, a very bad sinner. She comes in weeping and crying at Jesus' feet. Which one was the good soil? Certainly wasn't Simon. Simon was all about himself. The woman at Jesus' feet was the good soil. She was the one where the seed made a difference. That it was going to sprout to the fullness of life. It is suspected that woman was perhaps one of the women that ministered to Christ and was even there at his death. Wow. It's important for us to pay attention. And when we read verses, then we apply the formula of the soils to it and go, oh, hard soil on that guy. You know, or hard soil on this guy. How about the story in the New Testament when Paul is dealing with Agrippa? He says, Agrippa, King Agrippa, I know you know the scriptures. I know you know. Where was King Agrippa's heart? Remember the thing where he said, look, you almost convinced me? Oh, Paul, what did Festus say? Oh, Paul, you're mad. You're totally crazy, Paul. I think that guy was concrete. I think Agrippa might have been stony or thorny. You can look at that and you can see the differences in their characters and their responses. He says, I know you know. I know you know. It's wonderful to take this principle that our Master Jesus gives us. And he explains things to us. And then, you know, we're able to understand, you know, what is their motivation? The motivation of the good soil is the longing to receive the seed. Deep into the marrow of their soil, where God will spring up new life. And it will no longer be unfruitfulness, but very, very, very fruitful. And they will do what? They will produce seeds or fruit. It says the wheat, you know, in some cases. And it will be multiple folds. Look in Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 21. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to you put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears, speaking of those spiritual ears, let him hear. It is important for us to know that if that seed is really alive in you, you're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to hide it. You are going to be a sower. You are going to sow. And you're going to sow sometimes to the hardest of people, the concrete people. You're going to sow to people who are real stony that pretend to be Christians, but they're really not. They don't have that depth. You're gonna sow to people that claim to be Christians and they love the world so much. And then occasionally you're going to be blessed and you're going to sow out the seed of the word. You're going to share with people that they might know you, know Jesus Christ. And they come to that great knowledge of Jesus Christ through you. And what an honor that would be. I've asked people in groups and different settings, how many people have they personally led to salvation? Who've talked to somebody, shared the word, the person then says, yeah, I don't want to remain like I want to remain. I want to be alive in Jesus. I want forgiveness for my sins. I believe Jesus Christ can do this. Then that person I've led. And it's important that we do so. We don't hide it under a bed. A great light has been given you. A great, deep, penetrating light that will penetrate all possible darkness. But the book of Psalms tells us there is a darkness, though, where even light is hard to see. And it's talking about the darkness of men's hearts. Because they love darkness. And their heart is concrete. But you are to take this light, because you have ears and you've heard and you've been introduced to that truth and you've been made alive, then you should what? You should then share that light, share that seed. Then in verse 24, he goes on, he says, take heed what you hear, because I've done something absolutely devastating to you today, guys. I have shared something with you that now is going to be measured against you. You've been told about the soils, and you've been told about the need for the light to be exposed to everywhere and every place you go. And it says here in verse 24, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And what that is basically saying is saying basically, you've been given so much of the light, you will have no excuse now. That day comes when you stand before God, and you'll say, I was confused. I didn't know God. I didn't even see it. And he'll bring to this moment to your mind. And he will remind you. He goes, remember that day in church at Calvary Fellowship Church? And that preacher told you what he told you? And you ignored it? Because your heart was like concrete, or your heart was stony or thorny. It's a pretty serious warning. It's a pretty serious warning. He says, take heed, meaning be on your guard. Take this serious. Because God is going to judge the whole world one day. And he will examine every human being. And he will ask them a very, very clear question. What did you do with my son, Jesus? What did you do with the message? He goes on in 26. The kingdom of God is like a man who scattered seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Guess what? We don't make the seed sprout. Just because you planted the seed doesn't mean you stand over it begging it to sprout. You trust God. Do you plant a seed in a person's heart and then you beg God to make it sprout, you better maybe pray, God, deal with the concrete first. Deal with the stones and the thorns. Then it will sprout. We don't have to pray for the seed to be successful. The seed is perfect. It says, for the earth yields crops by itself in verse 28. First the blade, the head, the full fruit, the full grain of head, or in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle to it, and he harvests has come. And in verse 30 he says, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? Meaning, what is this wonderful kingdom of God? And we recognize the kingdom of God is that we have all become citizens of the kingdom because we believe, meaning the church. Here, those who believe. And it says, or with what parable shall we picture it? Meaning, can I come up with a subject matter? And he says this, it is like a mustard seed, which it is sown, or when it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large, what? Branches, so that the birds of the air may come and nest in its shade. Well, that sounds pretty good, that God plants a church, and it grows and grows and grows, a little mustard seed, into this big tree. And then all the birds of the air come along and do what? Rest in its branches. Now, when I first read this many, many times, I used to think, well, that's great news. Oh, Lord, let the branches grow enormously big and let many birds come and live in the branches. But the birds, if I recall, Jesus said these birds came along and took the word of God away. So what is he talking about? Is he in the same context? Very possible. First of all, a mustard seed does never grow into a tree. They're usually just little tiny bushes. But sometimes, mutations happen. Things that are not natural or good. And they will grow enormously different. Unhealthy even. And I think in this verse here, he's talking about sometimes the kingdom of God will grow extraordinarily fast and dramatic. Sometimes we see churches do that. That a small church starts off, and within a short period of time, they're a mega church real fast. And what does the church attract? They attract birds. That do what? That take the gospel away. Why would Jesus even mention this? They come to rest in its shade, to nest in its shade. Well, it's very possible that sometimes churches will have birds living among them. So it's important that when we do grow, that we do grow under the influence, a natural influence of the Holy Spirit. A spiritually led influence, not a humanly led experience. If you had a church full of people who were thorny, they're going to want to make it prosperity gospel. Isn't it interesting? Those who live among the thorns, the things and the love of this world will reproduce what they like to do. A church led by people who are living in who are nothing more than stony soil will produce a church full of stony people. And when the hard times come and they are pressed and persecution arises, they cave. And they do what? They change the constitution of their church bylaws, and they accept homosexuality and lesbianism, and they accept all the different sins. What are we seeing today? We're seeing churches that are compromising, that are really big and gloriously big and have all kinds of prophets and all kinds of capabilities, and their branches are full of the ones that come and take the true gospel away. Very interesting thought on that. Think about that. Think about that. Verse 33. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. You see, not everybody is ready to hear certain things. Not everybody is ready to take that next level in the teaching sometimes, and God is growing them. Some people walked away not sure. Some people later on matured and understood. It's all about the growth. It sprouts, but it's a growing process. It grows to a point where it does mature. And it goes on, it says, but without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to the disciples. Why? Because he knew they were spiritually alive, and that they could receive it and understand it, and they were ready for it. I would pray that God makes sure that I'm ready for everything he needs to say to me. And I'd pray the same for each of you. It goes on and says, and the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. He's talking about going over to the Decapolis. And it says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. Well, I think that was good. As he was. Meaning, he was already in the boat. Let's go. And other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling, meaning it was capsizing. But he, who? Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care? We are perishing. And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus, he planted the seed of the word of God when he was there in Capernaum along the shoreline. And what did he do? He got in the boat and took a nap. Didn't worry about it. In the midst of his nap, he suddenly, what? Gets awakened by his disciples, and they're afraid. They're very trained fishermen. They know a bad storm. They know a moment. And he says, why are you fearful? I think we all have fear. And that fear is something that lives with us till we are fully glorified with Christ. Adam, his very first emotional experience after he fell into sin was that he said, I was afraid. I was afraid. We all have fears. We all have dread. We all have concerns. But we must still find our strength in Jesus Christ. Next week we're going to pick this up in chapter 5. But think about the soils, guys. Think about those that you encounter. Also think about how a church should grow, and who comes and lives in our branches. Sweet Heavenly Father, I would pray that the seed of the Word, which is perfect, grows in the heart of those who hear it, that they would come to the fullness of your salvation. I pray that you would prepare the soils of those that we know that do not know you yet, that they might be made fully alive in your name. We praise you and we thank you for how you have loved us even though we were hard as concrete before, but you've made us differently. We bless you and we thank you for all your goodness. We praise you, Lord. Amen.